The Lord has a way of encouraging us. And on yesterday, I got a word of encouragement. It kind of came out of nowhere. Yesterday, we had a couple of visitors to our church. And I found out later on after church, they said, you know, we enjoyed the service and all that kind of stuff. And they said, I looked at Steve and they said, I know why Steve is so big. Okay, they said, I know why Steve is so big. So I was thinking, well, I know why I'm so big, too. I like Big Macs. That's why I'm so big. They went on to say something that just really encouraged me. They said, the reason God made Steve so big is because you need a big container to hold all that love. And you know what? That meant something to me. A lot of what the Bible says. The Bible says that you know that you have passed from death to life because you have love for the brother. And God has given me love. I might not be able to preach. I might not be able to do today, but God has given me love. He's given me love. And I want people to know me as a person that loves. And I hope you can just feel the love. And I want you to know I love each and every one of you. But I just ask you tonight just to pray with me. We pray that God would just have his way, that we just have the freedom to preach. Again, we're here for no other reason to lift up and magnify the name of Jesus and hopefully draw someone to his name. So if you have your Bibles with you this evening, I ask that you turn with me to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. And if you're able, could you please stand in honor and reverence of God's word, if you're able. I also want to acknowledge my wife and three members from our church are here this evening, Brother Austin and Sister Austin and Sister Miskell. It's so good to have you with us tonight. Psalm 142. If you have that, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, say hold on. Amen. And it reads, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You may be seated. We're lifting a thought tonight from that seventh verse where it says, bring my soul out of prison. I'm going to talk tonight about my prison without bars. A prison without bars. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Eternal and all-wise God, our Creator and our Sustainer, our King and our God, Lord, you've been so good to us, and we just want to magnify you and thank you, Lord, for all your many, many blessings. Lord, we just ask that you come right in right now, Lord God, and touch us in a special way. We pray right now, Lord, for your anointing to be upon us, Lord, and we might say a word to someone that might help them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. We pray, Lord God, that at the end of this message, that someone that doesn't know you, Lord, might find their way to the altar, Lord God, and seek you as their Lord and Savior. Lord God, we know we're not able to do anything without you, Lord, and we depend totally upon your anointing. Lord God, I realize, Lord God, that I'm less than dirt, that I'm dust, Lord. I know that I need your power, Lord God, to rest upon me. So, Lord God, I just do want to decrease, Lord, but I want you to increase within me. Use me tonight for your honor and for your glory, Lord. And I'll be so ever careful, Lord, to always praise you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prison without bars. For almost 18 years now, I've been employed at Russ Correctional Institution as a correctional officer. In 18 years, I've seen things that most of you will never see. I've seen stabbings, assaults, fights, numerous suicide attempts, and other behavior that unless you've ever worked in the prison system, you would not believe it, even if I told you. In the prison system, you find behavior that if you're not careful, it can make you lose your faith in mankind. Some of the things I've witnessed and some of the crimes these men have committed, it makes you wonder how could a human being do such things to themselves or to another human being. Because of the atmosphere in the prison and the environment in the prison, one of my closest friends calls it the prison, the belly of the beast. There's just so much negativity in the prison system, and many who work there, they do become callous and hard-hearted toward the men that we are paid to supervise. And so many people look at the inmate as less than human, as if they have no heart or no soul. When it comes to how we should treat others, the Lord taught me a valuable lesson several years ago that all of us who name the name of Christ need to learn. That no matter what a person may have done, no matter how heinous the crime they may have committed, no matter how many of God's laws they may have transgressed, no matter how gross the sin may be, when Jesus died on the cross, He died for their sin too. He paid the price for their sin just as He paid it for yours and for mine. And His desire is that everyone behind those bars, He wants them to repent and accept the forgiveness and salvation that He made available to all who will believe in Him. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So how could I have the audacity and the nerve to mistreat someone who Jesus suffered a horrible, painful death for? Oh, yes, there's a lot of negativity in the prison system, but I must be honest and thank and praise God because my experience has been just a little bit different. It is true there is a lot of deviant behavior. It is true I've witnessed things that the majority of you will never see. But I also have been blessed to meet some men who have been a blessing to me and helped me tremendously in my own Christian journey. Because of the situation some of these men find themselves in, they literally have nowhere else to turn to but to God. And just by talking to them, it gives me a better understanding and insight into the human condition and the saving power of God that I never would have known if I did not work in the prison system. Many of these men have taught me things and shown me things in the Word of God that has been a tremendous help to me. A while back there, I was making my rounds at work, and when I walked past the cell, an inmate called me back. He said, "Phil Ragland, I want to show you something." Now, I figured it was probably a picture from home of one of his kids or something like that, but I was wrong. What he did was he pulled out his Bible, and he showed me this passage of Scripture, Psalm 142, verse 7, which says, "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name." Then he began to tell me what that meant to him, that even though he is in prison, even though his body is in prison, he is still free because his soul is free because of his relationship with Jesus Christ. This inmate understood that there's something worse than being physically incarcerated, and that is to be spiritually incarcerated, bound and imprisoned by sin. So I began to think about this, how folk become imprisoned by their sin. And I remember an advertisement I saw on TV there a couple weeks ago about the Pete Rose story. And that reminded me of a book that he released earlier this year called My Prison Without Bars. You see, many people today, they are just like Pete Rose. They are in a prison, but their prison doesn't have any bars. They are in prison, and they don't even know why. And that is what is so heartbreaking, that folk feel in prison, and they don't understand why. Pete Rose may feel in prison, but I'm afraid that he doesn't understand what is at the root of the problem. The gambling and the lying are just symptoms of the real problem. The real problem is sin. Pete Rose is just like so many others. Whether they realize it or not, the reason they feel in prison is because they're being held captive by sin. And the only way to be free from the prison they're in is not just to admit the fact that they did wrong. The only way to be truly set free is by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, Pete Rose might get into the Hall of Fame someday, which is good, and I'll be happy for him. But Pete Rose's real concern should be getting into that city whose streets are paved with gold, whose builder and maker is God. So after I talked to this inmate, Cal Ray, I began to look at this psalm, and I studied this psalm, and that's what we want to look at this evening. This psalm is a prayer of David as he was fleeing and trying to escape from King Saul, who was trying to take his life. While fleeing from Saul, David hid himself in a cave, and while hiding in this cave, David began to cry out to God, and this psalm is that prayer. David felt like all hope was gone, and no doubt he was tired of having to run from Saul and run for his life. I'm sure he was wondering if he could go on. You know, it was bad enough that King Saul was trying to kill him, but what might have been even worse, that he felt like he had no help. He felt like nobody cared. In verse 4 of the text, David said, "I looked on my right hand, but there was no man that would know me." When you study this out, you can see what a powerful statement that this is. In ancient Israel, the soldiers would carry their spears in their right hand and a shield in their left. So when they got in a tight situation, they could look to their right and see the shield of the soldier next to them, and they would know that they were protected. David was used to having someone on his right hand there, so he knew was there to help protect him. But now David is in a situation, he's hiding in this cave, when he feels like he really needs some help. But now when he looks to his right hand, no one is there. Oh, isn't that how it is in our lives sometimes? We get used to having someone there to help us. Oh, but if you just keep on living, there's going to come a time that you really need someone, and no one will be there. That's one of the most devastating thing there is for a person, to be in a tough situation, but you feel like you have no help. Oh, Oh, have you ever been there? Your bills are stacked high and your money is low. And you just wish you had someone to help you. But when you look to your right, no one is there. Or maybe you're going through a tough situation in your family. And it seems like all you do is fuss and fight. And you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you wish you had someone that you could talk to. Oh, but when you look to your right, no one is there. Or you might struggle with sickness. And as hard as you try not to let it get you down, there are some days that just gets the best of you. And you look to your right and no one is there. Or maybe you have a loved one pass away and it hurts so bad and you begin to sink into despair and just wish that you could talk to them one more time. But you look to your right and no one is there. So David is in the midst of a trial and he looks to his right for help, but no one is there to help him. No one is there that he can trust. Not only was there no one there for him, but it also seemed like no one cared. Again in verse 4 it says, "No man cared for my soul." Isn't that something that we hear all the time? So many people today feel like nobody cares about them. It's bad enough for them. We have to face the things we have to face in this fallen world. But what makes it even worse is that it seems like no one cares. Somewhere along the line, we have lost the compassion for others that we once had. I remember talking to someone not long ago at work, and we were talking about a coworker whose house had burned down. And don't you know how many people responded to that situation when they heard about it? They didn't say, "Well, I got some clothes they can have," or "They got some furniture they can give them to them." But the response was, "I'm glad that it wasn't me." They had no compassion whatsoever. Now, I realize, I know that we're living in a different time, and I know that I am old-fashioned, but what just happened to common courtesy? What happened to the days when people would hold doors for people? What happened to the days when people would reach out to help people in everyday things? I was at the urgent care center in Chillicothe not long ago, and I'll never forget this. It was during the time that the flu was at its peak, and the waiting room there was packed. And after I signed in, there was no place to sit because it was just so crowded. So I had to stand up. And as I stood there waiting to be called to go back there to see the doctor, I watched other people as they came in. And many of these people were elderly. Many of them were walking with walkers and with canes. And then I watched some of the younger ones who were there who had seats. And when the older ones came in, they just sat there. I could tell that it did not even cross their minds to get up and allow an older person to have their seat. Oh, I'm just trying to tell you what happened to common courtesy. And don't even get me started on parking places. People will kill you over a parking space. You see people all the time struggling carrying packages of groceries, and they might drop something, and people will walk right past them and not even offer to help. Now, I know I might have got on my soapbox there for a minute, but that's all right. Now, I'm just trying to ask, what happened to common courtesy? But the more that I thought about that, Brother Howard, there really is only one reason, and that is that people just don't care. As long as they have a place to sit, as long as they have a parking place, they could care less about anyone else. And this is where I think that the church needs to step up and make the difference. And I really believe, but I may be wrong, but I believe what really draws people to church is not how well the choir sings or how well the preacher preaches, but what draws them is the fact that they can feel the love of Jesus, and they can tell that folks genuinely love them and care about them. Oh, the preacher may preach a great message, but if someone in the congregation did not say hello or someone didn't greet them with a smile or a handshake, they probably won't come back. Listen, it's a hard, cruel world out there, and people want to go to a place where they know that people genuinely love them and are concerned about them. We as Christians have to show the world that we care. Quickly, let me get back to David. David in our text was distressed because in his time of great need, it seemed like nobody cared. But this is what I like so much about David and why I enjoy this psalm so much. But even though he looked to his right and saw no man there, and even though he seemed like nobody cared, there was something in David, and no matter how bad things got, there was something in David that would not allow him to lose his faith and his trust in God. That's why in verse 5 it says, even though he was feeling overwhelmed, he could say, "Lord, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." In other words, he was saying, yes, I'm in this cave hiding, but I know my protection is not from the cave, but my protection is from you. David knew as long as he lived that the Lord would be there for him. Oh, doesn't that do something to you down on the inside? To know that no matter how bad things may seem, that the Lord will always be there for you. Yes, the enemy, he may be all around you. It may seem like the night is blacker than 7 midnight. And yes, your friends may forsake you, but God will be there for you as long as you live. That's why David said in another psalm, even when my father and my mother forsake me, that the Lord, he will take me up. That my
my friend, is what you have to know. You have to know deep down on the inside, deep down in your heart, no matter how bad the situation may seem on the outside, that the Lord will always be there for you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Oh, I thank God for my earthly father. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my church family. I know they would do all they could to help me. But also now there are some things that only God can help me with. And that is what happened to David. He found himself in a situation that the only one that he could turn to was God. I don't know why this is, but sometimes that is what has to happen in our lives. We have to get to the point that the only one that we can turn to is God. Just like the testimony. God loves us so much that he will allow things to happen in our lives to get our attention so that we will look to him. He doesn't do it out of wrath or out of anger. He does it out of love. He wants to give us everyone an opportunity to look to him and to be saved. So David is in this cave, hiding from Saul, and he feels all alone. He feels like nobody cares. And I can just imagine in my sanctified imagination that David begins to look around the cave, and instead of seeing a place of safety, a place of refuge, it begins to look like a prison to him. It begins to look like a prison without bars. So David prays in verse 7, and he asks the Lord to bring his soul out of prison. So I began to meditate on this scripture, and this scripture became so real to me. We have here a beautiful picture in the natural of a spiritual truth. Isn't that what happens in so many of our lives? The things we use or the things that we think we need to help us actually begin to be more like a prison than a place of refuge. David went to a cave to protect himself, to hide from the enemy. But what started out as a place of safety over time became his prison. And the same thing happens to us. We run to a bottle of whiskey trying to help us relax. But over time we become addicted and that whiskey becomes our prison. We take a little pill to help us relax so we try to get some sleep. But over time that pill becomes our prison. We think that money is the answer. If we have more money, then we can relax and have peace. So we work overtime. We live down at the job. But the more we make, the more we spend, and debt becomes our prison. Or maybe like Pete Rose, we began to gamble for a little excitement, you know, just to make the games a little more interesting. But before you know it, it gets out of hand, and you leave the line, or worse than that. And before you know it, gambling becomes your prison. It might not be something as dramatic as that. You may just feel trapped, imprisoned by life itself. The everyday aches and pains of life just begin to wear you down. And before you know it, you've sunk into discouragement and into despair. It feels like you are in prison and there is no way to escape. And you feel like giving up. But I just stopped by this evening on my way to heaven to tell somebody that you may feel like David. You may feel like you're imprisoned by the cares of life. You may feel like you are imprisoned by sin. You may feel like there is no hope. You may look to your right and to your left and no one is there. You may feel like nobody cares. But I just want you to know, do not give up. Do not give in. There is a way out of your prison. There is someone. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. There is someone who loves you. There is someone who cares about you. There is someone who will be there for you through thick and thin. If you will just call out to him in faith, he will set you free from whatever prison you are in. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the fourth chapter of Luke, Jesus went to the synagogue there in Nazareth. And the Bible said that Jesus stood up to read from the prophet Isaiah. He began to read there in Isaiah that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then Jesus rolled up the scroll and handed it back to the tent. And he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, I am the one. I am the one who came to set the captive free. I am the one who can deliver you from any prison that you may be in. Well, you look at me and you say, Pastor Steve, how can Jesus set me free? Well, Jesus can set you free because he's the one who's got the keys. The Bible says he's got the keys to hell and of death. And he can set you free. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because all power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. He can set you free because he went to a hill called Calvary, died on a cross, and we may be freed from the prison of sin. Oh, but that's not the best part. You know what the best part is? The Bible says that on the third day, up from the grave he arose, a victory over hell, death, and the grave. And because Jesus is alive, we can escape from our prison. I don't know about you this evening, but I'm glad that Jesus is alive. Jesus isn't dead anymore. He's alive. He's alive and and well. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. I can feel him in my soul.
Jesus, Jesus, my King and my Conqueror, he is alive and well. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And because he's alive, you can call him right now, and he will help you. Oh, I'm so glad this evening that I've been set free. I'm glad that the bonds of sin have been broken. One last thing, and I'll be through. In our text, David said, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. See, David was looking to a time in the future that he could praise the Lord's name. But those of us here today who have accepted Jesus, those of us who have been set free, we should give God the glory. We should give God the praise right now. I can't speak for you, but I'm glad that Jesus set me free. And because Jesus set me free, I will not be quiet. I will not hold my peace. I will praise his holy name. I'll praise him in the morning. I'll praise him at noontime. I'll praise him in the evening. I'll praise him when I'm up. I'll praise him when I'm down. I'll praise him when I'm sick. I'll praise him when I'm well. I'll praise him on my job. I'll praise him at home. I'll praise him in the car. I will praise the Lord. Why? Because Jesus is alive and well, and he brought me out of that prison. I say glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, the blessed Lamb of God. Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Jesus, that sweet rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. He will bring you out of whatever prison that you're in. Because he does, he's got the keys to hell and of death. Oh, I know some of you might look at me kind of funny, but I get a little excited. You see, I was bound. I was captured by sin. I saw no way out. But one day, I got down on my knees and I called out to Jesus, and he set me free. He set me free. He set me free. He set me free. He set me free from the prison that I'm in. And let me tell you, he is no respecter of persons. What he did for me, he'll do for you. Oh, this evening, I don't know what you may be going through, but I do know this. Every one of us were trapped at one time. Every one of us at one time were imprisoned by sin. But I want you to know tonight, if you will put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood on Calvary's cross, he will set you free. He'll come in and give you a peace that passes all understanding. You might try to act like me, a little goofy. Oh, that's okay. I don't care if I can feel the Lord in here. I don't care. I will praise the Lord because he set me free. He set me free. He set me free. Oh, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Yes, I had a death sentence on me. I think sometimes we take this salvation thing a little too casual. You see, I had a death sentence on me. I was on my way to a devil's hell. I was going to be lost for all of eternity. But Jesus, oh, hallelujah, Jesus came and set me free. He set me free. He set me free. And for that, I'm going to praise his name. I'm going to tell folk about him. I'm going to tell folk about this great, wonderful Savior who came in and changed my life. Oh, he changed my life. He'll change your life too. Yes, 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 this evening. You may feel like you're in prison. You may feel like something has you trapped. But I want you to know, if you will just come down to the altar of prayer, that he will set you free. He'll set you free. He'll set you free. Yes, you may feel like you're in a prison without bars, but you can be set free tonight through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through his shed blood on the cross, he has the keys to hell, death, and the grave. And you can have the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life. Oh, you'll live forever and ever in his presence. Oh, what a wonderful hope we have in the Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad to die for Jesus? Aren't you? Let's just give the Lord a... I say blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, David was in this cave, hiding from Saul, and that cave became like a prison to him. But we know beyond a shadow of doubt, you will just call upon the Lord. Whatever prison you may feel you're in, he will bring you out. He will bring you out. Stand with me, please. We have a song of invitation.